he's ready. From a defensive standpoint, we're bringing in one of the best. He's from NFL Network. He also calls some of the Eagles games during the year on Fox. None other than analyst Charles Davis. Charles, how's it going?
Going great. How about you guys?
We're doing wonderful. Waiting for a pick to happen.
Yeah,
here.
Waiting for some action. We need something to happen. We've got to tell us what's going to go down here on day two.
Well, you know something? It's a little weird, but think of what the trade is. A Super Bowl trophy versus action on draft day.
Of course.
I'll take the trophy.
Certainly, no question about it. Now, Charles, you've done mock drafts throughout the entire pre-draft process. Who, to you, was the biggest slider to come out of the first round from a defensive standpoint on Thursday night?
Biggest slider defensive standpoint? I really thought that because there were a lack of pass rushers that Harold Landry would go in the first round. So that was a surprise to me that he slid all the way out. Tremaine Edmonds going at 16 doesn't sound bad, but I thought he'd go in the top 10, you know? So that was a little bit of a surprise as well when I sit and analyze it. Josh Jackson, I knew, was teetering first round, second round. That didn't overly surprise me that it ended up happening because, you know, you guys have seen the draft. Something weird always happens every year. And this year he got caught up with a few different things, so those would be ones that kind of jump out at me, you know, right off the top. So that's about what I've got.
Charles, the Eagles at 32 make the deal, pick up a second-round pick this year, second-round pick next year. First, before we get into kind of what to expect here tonight, your thoughts on that deal and the value the Eagles received?
I like it. You know, this is a team that didn't have any glaring needs, that you had to have a guy to plug this hole and, you know, go get them. You could make... Look, if you had been able to stick at 32, whatever direction Howie Roseman decided to make the pick was actually one that would work. You want to add a receiver, you want to add a running back, you want to add help in the offensive line, you want to add help at defensive back, you want to add help at linebacker. Any of those places is fine because it's all fortification for the most part. You're not trying to get that guy, that last piece, you know, the one that puts you over the top. You're just trying to make it better and give yourself a little bit more flexibility. So I like the idea that they were able to get out and get some extra pick.
Now, Charles, you are an outstanding defensive back at the University of Tennessee. One area that the Eagles could address tonight would be nickel cornerback. As the Eagles sit right now at the number 52 selection, who are some potential options of players who could come in and play that nickel corner role?
Well, if we're talking about moving inside to the nickel, there's some guys, all right, that you're going to, you know, we talk about the guys who are on top of the board. Most of those guys are outside corners. Josh Jackson is not a nickel at Iowa, okay, so, you know, coming out of Iowa. So he's going to do that. By size, I'm wondering if Anthony Averett from Alabama, who's a New Jersey kid, would be a guy that would kick inside and be more of a nickel. I think the kid out of Tennessee, Rashawn Golden, is a good nickel player, and that would be a great spot for him. Does that fit for Dante Jackson for LSU? Is he able to go inside and make his plays there? I think of, you know, Duke Dawson from Florida, I know that's where he belongs. He's much more of a nickel than anything else. Get comfortable with it when he had to deal with Quincy Wilson and Tease Tabor playing the corners while he was playing at Florida. So those are some names that I'd keep a strong eye on as they go. And one I like is MJ Stewart out of North Carolina. He and Mike Hughes, who's at UCF and got drafted in the first round last night, they should have been the starting corners at North Carolina. And I saw on tape, I saw Stewart going inside a lot, and he built almost like a mini running back. You know, got a strong, compact deal, almost like some of these slot receivers he's going to have to go up against.
Charles, it's interesting. This draft, everybody said it from the start, really not a lot of difference from 32 to 55 or 60. Would you see a scenario where the Eagles would move back from 52 and still have the same quality of talent available?
I think so. And if we're talking about those players, you know, the corners we just talked about who played nickel, I think you're still getting value. I think you're able to add to it, you know, extra picks, fortify yourself elsewhere, and still get a good player. If we're just saying, let's just say, at the nickel spot, moving back, still can get that. I mean, you know, you've heard it. General managers have said, hey, I can get the same guy at 45, I can get at 25. Doesn't mean it's a bad draft. It's actually a very good draft. But there's so many of them that you don't lose as much sleep. Like, I have to have that particular guy if he's not a quarterback.
Charles, we knew that some of these safeties would go in the first round, Derwin James and Minkah Fitzpatrick, depending on where you place him in the NFL. But one player who was possibly projected to go in the first round and didn't was Stanford's Justin Reed. He's so versatile. Where do you think he ends up going here on day two?
Well, I don't think it takes terribly long for him to go. I thought he could go to Carolina in the first round. I thought he could go to Pittsburgh in the first round. Those were two prime targets for him. And then Pittsburgh, I think, took Terrell Edmonds, correct? That was kind of a surprise to me because I know Edmonds is a good player, right? Rangy, all the things you're looking for. But I thought that a Justin Reed would fit in there. I know that Ronnie Harrison had held that spot for a while where maybe people thought he would go. But I thought Reed had edged ahead of him and more people were locked in on taking him. Edmonds, athletically, has everything you're looking for. So I don't really question the pick as much as I'm curious about it. And I find it interesting because you remember when Mike Mitchell came out and the Raiders took him and like all of us had like, who's Mike Mitchell? You know, we kind of locked in on him probably late. And I know you two probably knew him from the word go. But I heard about him about a week and a half before the draft when he came out. He ended up going in the second round and then finished up, you know, just played in Pittsburgh recently. It's almost that same scenario. A bit of a surprise, but if it pays off like Mike Mitchell did, it's a very good surprise.
I look at linebacker here, Chris and Charles, and I see Jordan Hicks, two of his three seasons marred by injury, entering the last year of his contract. Nobody questions what kind of football player he is when he's on the field. I wonder, Charles, as we look here, rounds two, even beyond, middle linebackers out there who could fit a downhill scheme and maybe provide that insurance in case Jordan goes down again?
Yeah, that's going to be the fun part to look at because Jason Kabinda is someone from Penn State that I think you can get later in the draft, and he plays straight downhill. I mean, that's kind of what he does. I don't know that you're asking him to do a lot more than that. If you're wanting some more versatility from someone like that, you're going to have to go in a different direction. A lot of people have looked at Malik Jefferson from Texas, but I don't see him as an inside guy. I see him as a run chase will. I want him outside. I want him protected and let him run to the football. I don't want him inside. I think he gets caught up in the trash too much. Josie Jewell from Iowa, touted in terms of workmanlike production, more than productive, was supposed to go to Luther College, which was a Division III school before Iowa offered him a scholarship late, and he was off the charts for them. I don't know how athletic he will be over the long haul, but if it's in that range that he can get to, he will tackle people. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. He will put them down. And I like the kid out of Virginia, Micah Kaiser. Again, I think he's going to be a mid-round guy. I look at him more like a fourth rounder, but I think that he could come in and play the middle linebacker. And you never have to worry about the playbook. The guy won the Campbell Trophy for the best academic athlete in the country last year, the academic Heisman. So he'll have the playbook down and be able to collaborate with Jim Schwartz pretty well to call signals.
Charles, we'll let you play the role of general manager here. The Eagles sitting there at 52. Who would you love to see in Midnight Green in 2018 and beyond?
Wow. Sitting at 52 and who I would like to see? Oh, boy. As I said, we've gone so many different directions, you know, and I like what they're doing. Jason Peters is supposed to be coming back, right? Vitae's there now as insurance if Jason's all the way back, and he's got his confidence and he's going. Wisniewski, you know, his little ding, Samalu was up and down last year. I say that you're always trying to plug in offensive linemen. If somehow James Daniels from Iowa is still sitting there, okay, he can come in and play guard for a while, back up in there. He can help you out with Kelsey as he continues in his career. I like this kid a lot. And frankly, I was a little bit surprised to see Ragnow from Arkansas and Billy Price go before him. I know they're both excellent football players, but I really have a I got a man crush on James Daniels from Iowa.